So, should be recording. Awesome. So thank you so much, everybody, for again, for your patience with me for the last couple minutes and for joining tonight. My name is Catherine Dubreck. Some of you, your names look familiar and pictures. Some of you I might not have met yet, but I am an MCC GIST alum. I finished the, I finished the certificate program, May 2020. I also, before that, I kind of did MCC backwards. So I went to Geneseo first. I went to Geneseo first. I majored in geography. And then I went to grad school in Canada, also for geography, and moved back home to do planning, and found out that I love GIS more than planning. So bounced around a little bit. And right now I'm back in planning. I'm the junior planner for Town of Penfield, but I've been doing a lot of GIS work too. So I'm like the main GIS person for Penfield and a planner. So it's like best of both worlds right now. So everybody that's here, if you did not submit any questions in advance, that's totally fine. Feel free to jump in and ask anything in the chat, or ask anything if you want to jump in on the call and just ask out loud. Awesome. There were a couple questions sent in to Professor Little in advance. Actually, I have them on my phone, so that's probably going to be faster right now. First question was, what is your day-to-day work like in your new position? That looks like a question someone just asked in the chat. What does the regular day look like in your job? Great question. So right now, I work 9 to 5 with an hour lunch. So I have a 35-hour work week, and that's full time. Most New York government jobs are 35-hour work week. It's really nice. There's no like mandatory overtime for my job right now. I came from the corporate world before this job, and it was very hour heavy. So like the work, you just worked and the work was done, and the work was never done. So you're just always working. Corporate's great to test out, but for me, I thrive better in the world. So I get into work, I make my coffee, and then lately I've been just jumping into GIS and doing stuff all day with mapping. So I just finished a project that was updating the boundaries of all the different properties the town is responsible for cutting the grass. It ended up being like almost 250 acres worth of fields and grass that the town has to mow, which seems like who would even care, but the Department of Public Works, they are responsible for doing that, and they actually contracted out, so they were going to send it out to bid, and different companies can bid who have that contract, and they needed the maps and the quantity in order to do that. So I helped them with that. I've also been updating our map that has all of the sidewalks in town. Penfield, I don't know if anyone here lives in Penfield or has been to Penfield, but they have a lot of sidewalks. They have a lot of new developments too that are like subdivisions, new family houses that have sidewalks in there. It's really awesome. Webster, where I live, doesn't really have any. So I love sidewalks, and it's neat to have a whole map showing where they are. So I've been doing that. I've also been spending some time researching different story maps that might help the town and be useful for residents to see if they go on the website, see like old historic, like old town map from 1902 and compare that to like aerial imagery from a couple of years ago and see how much has changed and if street names are the same or like boundaries. They also have aerial imagery from 1930. So I was going to try and make a little slider story map with that to show like basically the whole town was farmland and now it's like houses. So it's really interesting. A lot of mapping in my day right now. I love working in government. There's a lot of government GIS jobs that are out there, especially if you're willing to move outside of New York, or if you're not currently in New York, some of you are remote elsewhere around the country. So your local like city or town or county might be hiring for a GIS person. So it's cool to see what jobs are out there. Next question that was in advance. How often do you utilize Landsat data in your work? Are you able to give some examples of how you've used it? I don't really use Landsat just because it's kind of like low resolution. I'm getting attacked by this puppy. I use more pictometry or eagle view imagery, which I actually used to work there. It's where I came from before Penfield. They're a local company, but they fly like all over the country. They do really high resolution imagery. It's like some of it can be under an inch. So if you like zoom in all the way, each pixel or cell is like less than an inch by less than an inch. So way, way more high res than Landsat. But it's the same type of thing. So if it wasn't pictometry, I could use Landsat. We use it to see like updating the sidewalk maps. So I was using aerial imagery to make sure that the sidewalks were accurate and in the right spot compared to the imagery. You can use them to like the little historic story map comparison thing I'm looking at trying to do. That's a great example of using imagery. It could be Landsat. I was looking at more detailed imagery, but it's the same thing. It's still remote sensing ortho imagery. I did use Landsat for my remote sensing project in 2019, I think is when I took the remote sensing class. And I actually looked at Henrietta. So before Penfield, before Eagle View, I was the GIS tech for the town of Henrietta. And my project was comparing Landsat data from, I think from 2000 to 2010 to see the different like changes, how much more impervious surface was there, like roads and driveways and like mall parking lots, how much farmland was turned into like houses, that kind of comparison. But that was Landsat and I showed the town and they thought it was cool. So you could use Landsat data for any type of project that's using like remote sensing. Like you could do like vegetation studies in town. NDVI, I could do that with Landsat imagery for Penfield if there's a need for it. So definitely can use Landsat at work. Oh my God, this puppy's nuts. Next question. What is my favorite place I've traveled for work? Great question. For work, I would say Lake Placid. I went to the New York State GIS Association conference that was pre-COVID, so it was in person. And it's held, well, pre-COVID, it was held in a different spot around New York every other year. So it was like every other year they had a one-day summit. And then the year that wasn't the summit, it was like a three-day conference somewhere else. And the year I went, it was in Lake Placid and it was in October and it was really beautiful. It was like end of September, so there were still leaves. And I got paid from my job to go there and they paid for like hotel and stuff. It was really awesome. For school, I actually, through MCC, through the GIST certificate program and a grant that the college had in 2019. It was a couple of years ago. But there was a grant to do this really cool hybrid study abroad project. You had to apply. I was one of four students that were that applied and were picked to participate. And we actually, we built an app with some students in South America and Colombia. We built an app and then, sorry for the barking. We actually went to Cartagena, Colombia and used the app. That's crazy. We went to Colombia, we tested out the app that we built with our friends from Colombia that we were working with remote, and the grant paid for everything. Sorry for that text, that was the puppy. The grant paid for everything. We had to like use ArcGIS Collector to actually build something that was used for research. At this, actually, the professor in Colombia that we worked with, he was like trying to make actual changes in the city. It wasn't just like a school project to do a school project. It was like meaningful research that would affect people that lived in the area. That was really cool. That involved travel. There was also an opportunity through RIT pre-COVID that I applied for. That would have involved going to Rwanda for 10 weeks in the summer of 2020 and doing like humanitarian mapping, global like community type help. Super cool. COVID happened, nobody went. I also realized I couldn't go because I had graduated May 2020, so you had to still be a student, but it worked out because I couldn't go anyways because of COVID. But there's all sorts of travel opportunity, even just with the MCC, with the cool things that Professor Little and Professor Pierce and all the other geography professors are doing. So I'm glad you're all in these classes and hopefully pursuing the certificate or the new associate's degree that was just approved yesterday, I think, in GIS. What is a good first step for someone wanting to get into the work world of remote sensing or GIS? I recommend trying to get some volunteering experience or internships. It's kind of hard now because like we're still in the pandemic, but the mapping club at MCC, I'm not sure if anyone here is in it or like has participated in the past, but they have a mapathon at least one every semester. And it's basically like digitizing roads and buildings in a sort of remote area of the world to help get these places on the map. So if there's like a cyclone or there's like malaria outbreak or global pandemic that hits like COVID, organizations like Red Cross and other groups like Red Cross can send food and water and like medicine and aid over there that you might not know people live there if we weren't digitizing and putting these places on the map. So definitely recommend getting involved and participating in those. They're free, like doesn't cost anything to do through the club. You can also just do it on your own time. It's through Humanitarian Open Street Map Team, or HOT. I think it's HOTOSM, like .org or something. All you have to do is make a free Open Street Map account, and you could digitize like right now while I'm talking, and you can put that on your resume as volunteering your GIS skills to help like the global community. So definitely recommend that. I also recommend like in Webster, there's the Friends of Webster Trails. They help maintain all the hiking and biking trails in Webster. I live in Webster, so I know about them. I'm sure other towns have other groups like that. They needed a GIS volunteer at the beginning of the year to help get them up to speed with updating their trail maps. So I actually helped them learn how to use QGIS, which is open source. It's free. That's what, if you haven't taken cartography yet, Professor Pierce uses QGIS for that class. Just getting involved in local groups, GIS groups, or local groups that might need GIS help. The New York State GIS Association has all sorts of needs for volunteers on all their different committees. I started volunteering with the Communications Committee. It's free. It's as much of a time commitment as you want it to be. So I started just being their Twitter account person, and like every other week or sometimes month or longer when I was really busy, I would just find something cool to tweet from their account, and that's another line on the resume. And now I'm like a board of directors person there, which is weird that I'm on there, but it's fun. So recommend getting involved with them. I think it's student membership is either free or $10. I can't remember which. I know those are very different amounts, but it's cool. They have a lot of cool like webinars, and they share different events that some are local to here, some are in New York City, but it's cool. You can network that way, and sort of half of getting a job is who you know. So that's a great group of people to start working with. There's also internships. There's one, let me see, I just sent it to somebody. Let me see if I can find it again. I saw this in the spring. There's an organization for recent grads where you can apply for, it's mostly physical geography type internships, but I love the national parks, and they're through this website. There were like 3 or 4 internships that started this summer with different national parks in the US. You were doing GIS stuff there, and it was paid, and you got to live in the park. The only thing for me, I actually applied and I got one, but I'm too old to stay on my dad's health insurance. And it seemed like a lot of work to try and figure out how to get health insurance through whatever means, because they didn't provide health insurance for the internship. But if you're still like 26 or under and you're on your parents' insurance, that's a really great opportunity. And even if you're not, and you have the time to research how to get short-term health insurance, and you can do that internship, like those are really awesome intro. Like it was really basic GIS stuff they were looking for. That's the link. I don't think there's many on there right now because it's almost October and all the spots are probably full, but I think it was like February or March when I saw these postings on there, and it was really cool. There's also the Student Conservation Association, I think it's called SCA. They have a lot of, again, like environmental, physical geography type internships. But those are paid as well, and those involve travel. And if you're willing to travel and not stay right where you live right now, there's a lot of opportunities. Lost my list. 1 second. There's another question of, having graduated from the program, what programs that the college offers would you have liked to have taken to help you in your GIS career and why? What programs would I have liked to have taken? There are some geography classes at MCC that I just didn't have time to take. They're sort of less GIS, but there's like, I think there's one that's like the geography of economics or something that I think Professor Easter teaches. That sounded awesome. I just like didn't have time. But just stuff like that, that helps you think more spatially about like other topics. I think that ultimately helps you with GIS because you can see how to apply GIS to different fields, like having like been immersed in the geography side of it through a class like that. I'm still taking classes at MCC. The new micro-credential that Wayne Howard is, he's teaching the first class of the micro-credential right now. It's geospatial data acquisition and management. I'm in that class. It's really cool. Like that's a skill I could definitely brush up on. And if MCC hadn't offered that, I probably would have looked for like free trainings on that type of stuff, because you definitely need good data management skills if you're, if like that's your job, 40 hours a week. There's also going to be a web mapping class, which I think will be ArcGIS Online next spring. I'm going to take that because that is like ArcGIS Online, and online mapping is like the way of the future. So that's another class that if I wasn't signed up to take it in the spring, actually, technically I'm not because registration hasn't opened yet, but I plan on enrolling. That's another thing where I would have, if that wasn't offered now at MCC, I would have looked into like free ESRI trainings or YouTube videos or stuff like that to learn how to get better at that. Also, Python is a big skill that job hiring managers are looking for GIS jobs. So again, next spring, there will be a geospatial programming class offered at MCC. So I'm very much looking forward to that because you can, if you know Python, that puts you ahead of like half the applicants for GIS jobs. Even though it's not required, they really prefer people with that, some sort of like basic programming understanding. Lost list again. In the chat, we have some questions. I'll switch over here. We have, can I use GIS to help me find a great piece of land and how? Yes, you could use GIS to, depending on your criteria. So if you were looking for like a parcel of land, like on the water that was X number of acres or larger, that was permitted like residential, you could build a house on to live on the water. You can, if you have different data sets, so like for that example, you would need a parcels file. You'd need a water, like you need to know where water is. So some sort of like water body file. And then you can make queries and like narrow down parcel size. You can filter out all the parcels that are too big or too small. You can look at what the parcel is classified as. So if it's not residential, like you could rule all of those out. You could have a zoning shapefile for, if you're looking at like Penfield, you could see where different like land use types are permitted, which different like zoning districts. So if you found this really great piece of land, but it's in an industrial zone, you probably can't really like build a house there. So you'd have to go through like government hoops to get a permit or something. site selection. That's the like term for that sort of work. That's a really great sort of GIS project. Trying to use GIS to find like where a certain thing should go, like even a new store, like Wegmans, like they use GIS to figure out where certain like median household income is, if it's like X or feedback. GIS can be used for that for sure. My capstone project was related to Cartagena, Colombia. So I worked with the same professor that I worked with on that like app building exercise that I talked about, the like study abroad thing. I did remote sensing type work to look at changes in the same area that we studied, but changes to the little like mangrove forest around this particular body of water to see where there was a lot of development, because people would bring like fill and like dirt into these mangrove areas illegally and like build houses that were unstable and unregulated. So I used Landsat and Sentinel and something else, I can't remember what it's called, but different satellite imagery to look at changes to the mangrove forests over time. Regular day-to-day we covered. Companies I can apply to as a GIS student. Companies, I can only think of a couple that are in Rochester. Government-wise, it's really endless. Like every single government pretty much has an engineering and or planning department that uses GIS. Companies, Eagleview, they're a big local one. There's also Crown Castle. I think they're also in Henrietta, and they do fiber optics maybe, or like infrastructure, like transmission line type work. I know there's GIS jobs there for sure. All sorts of engineering firms, so like Passero, Labella, I'm blanking on all of them. Passero, Labella, Fisher Associates, they have a GIS geomatics department. Bergman Associates, these are all places that are downtown Rochester. They have some GIS people there. City of Rochester has a big GIS department. There's also a lot of departments within the city of Rochester that have GIS staff. Monroe County has a GIS department. So it really just depends where you are. And I'm sure you can find jobs out there. Really like engineering and architecture and planning firms tend to have like a couple GIS people on hand. What your duties would be, it just depends. So Eagleview, they do a lot of aerial imagery stuff. So it just depends what department you're in. You could be processing imagery. You could be creating flight plans for the pilots to fly and like capture the imagery. You could be working with customers, helping them get the imagery because they paid for it. So it really just depends which like specific job you're applying for. But at Eagleview specifically, just because I worked there, pretty much every department used ArcMap in some form. They weren't on Pro yet, but knowing GIS, even though it wasn't a requirement, it really made things much easier there. After receiving the certificate, what made me want to continue with the micro-credential? Just, I love learning and I love GIS, and I'm not an expert, and I know there's a lot of stuff I am familiar with, but there's much more that I'm not.
the field is growing and changing all the time. And even like things I learned in like undergrad, those are kind of like, there's several newer versions of what I learned there. So I just love learning, and there's classes now that weren't offered before, definitely weren't offered when I was in undergrad, and it's just easier to learn. Like MCC's right here, all the stuff's either remote or totally online on your own. It's easier than like watching a YouTube video because I sometimes get distracted. It costs money to go to school, but I find the investment is worth it if it helps me in my job. And it's fun. I don't know. It's just fun doing projects, and taking exams isn't really fun, but projects are fun. So I guess I'm just a nerd. Curious about creating a resume. Did I add some of the skill sets I learned in class to a skill section? Sort of. It was more like programs that I'm familiar with. So I have ArcGIS Desktop, Online, Pro, I think Catalog and Toolbox spelled out specifically on my resume that I know how to use those. I have QGIS listed as something I know how to use. I had internships that were GIS related, so I mostly just wrote what I did using GIS under like Livingston County Planning Department GIS intern. I wrote like made maps for this department using ArcGIS, updated this map for this department using ArcGIS. So it was less like outlining skills specifically and more just kind of showing how I use GIS. But I think a skill section is helpful if you don't have like internship or job experience directly yet. You could list the extensions that you've used in school. So like spatial analyst, network analyst, I can't think, like list out that you know how to like mosaic tiles together to make a like coherent ortho mosaic, hill shade contour. Like you could definitely list skills out. I think that would help. Advice on building a new GIS resume for post-graduation. That's a really good question. I'd have to think about that. I never really made a specific GIS resume. Wayne is really good. Wayne Howard is good with that stuff. He had somebody speak in Capstone that was like from the Career Center that was talking about resumes. So, but we can chat more about that. I think, like I could send you mine and you could tweak it from there to fit your experience. Job boards I would recommend for entry-level jobs. Yes. So I have a couple. Let me get them really quick and I will share them in the chat. This one I used to have bookmarked, but now I'm no longer looking for a new job. I don't have a bookmarked anymore. But the GIS Jobs Clearinghouse is a great one. There's jobs all over the country, even all over the world. There's some like military jobs I've seen on this website for GIS for like Japan or Germany. So that's a good resource for jobs in the field. There's the New York State GIS Association. Oops, wrong link. They have a job page as well. That's just for jobs in New York State. Let me grab that and share that too. Um, the only thing with these job websites is like if there's a job but they don't like send it to this website, you might not see it. So I still looked on Indeed and LinkedIn and like just search for like GIS analyst or something and things pop up there. There's also one more that I know of that is the GIS Lounge. This is more of like a blog, but they have a job listing page. So definitely recommend those websites just to, even if you're not ready to start applying, you can see what's out there and see what like companies that are hiring. A lot of places are remote now, even post-pandemic, which someday we'll get there. Companies are staying mostly remote for people. So you could apply for a job that's like in San Francisco that is full remote. So you could still be working from Webster. So definitely look for those types of perks. My salary, I don't know if I want to share that. Average salary, it depends. GIS technician is like the entry level job. They're probably like, I don't know, like 20 an hour, 21 an hour. Analysts are like more mid-level, so they're higher. And then you could be like a GIS manager, like it just gets higher, more salary from there. I'd say probably like I don't know. I would look online for the average. I don't really know. I don't really know what the average is for Rochester. I've made like since I moved back from grad school, I've had 1, 2, 3, 4 jobs. This is the one I'm sticking with because I've tested the waters and know where I want to be. But I've floated pretty much around 50 grand a year, kind of like ballpark. I'd say that's probably average, which is like, that's pretty good. A map that I made in my job. I just updated a map today. I didn't like make it from scratch, but it was showing all the parks and trails and shelters and lodges in Penfield. So like Ellison Park, Lucian Morin Park, and then like the town parks like Veterans Memorial, and all the different pavilions and lodges that you can rent to have parties there. I like to hike, so that was fun to make a map of trails and parks for everyone to see. Salary, we have people taking cartography, that's awesome, doing the certificate, might do the associate's degree, highly recommend. A lot of jobs say they prefer to have a college degree from the applicant. The certificate really helps. I definitely recommend the associates here now that the GIS associate's degree is official. It just makes it look more like appealing, quote unquote, for the hiring manager. Personally, I think requiring a college degree on GIS jobs or like tech jobs is sort of like antiquated because there's really smart people that don't feel like being strictly like fitting in a college degree box. But as someone with 3 college degrees, like yay college. So it really just, it's up to you. That really wasn't a question that somebody asked, but the certificate will definitely help you either way if that's all you feel like pursuing. But if you like college and you like learning and you'd love to do the associates or transfer to a 4-year degree for GIS or geography, it'll only help. I don't think it would ever hurt. Not that that was a question, just my opinion. Yes, to Dale, I remember your Lake Mead project. That was awesome, and I hope you had fun with it because it looked really cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Cool. That's just another relevant way of how you could use remote sensing or GIS. Droughts are only going to get worse. Fires in the West are only going to get worse. Hurricanes are only going to get worse. So weather and GIS, those are great ways. Even if you're not super into physical geography, there's still like a human aspect to those types of events that you can use GIS to monitor or plan responses to, emergency responses to. There's all sorts of interactive maps right now for through different agencies for the fires out west, which it's really a bummer, but it's pretty neat to see how different organizations use GIS to monitor that. Even like the COVID dashboard that Johns Hopkins made in early 2020, maybe late 2019. That's like the perfect example of how to use GIS for like a public health reason. So definitely sad, like pandemic and natural disasters and droughts, it's a bummer, but can use GIS to do some really cool things to monitor those. How does Python come in with GIS? That's a really great question. You can use scripting to make your analysis more like automated. It makes things like process faster instead of running 17 tools, like step by step. You run tool A, it spits out this new shapefile, then you run tool B on the shapefile, you get a new one, then you run another tool and another tool. You can make a little model or a script that runs all of those tools like in order on its own. You just have to hit like put in all your inputs and hit run, and it'll do all of it for you. You still have to like build the script or build the model, but then you don't have to spend 14 hours running tools manually. You could just hit run and check back in the morning or something. So I really need to learn Python with GIS, so I can't really explain it beyond that. But I know it will really help with intense analysis. Just makes it less labor intensive. And I lost my phone again. There were some other questions. Let me pull those up through my email. One second. Oh, there's just one last question. So we've seen the GIS field explode in the past few decades. What areas do you see this field expanding into in the next two decades? Very good question. That sort of like relates to the natural disaster type of research or monitoring or emergency response to those. Definitely with sea levels rising, I think there's going to be, that's still sort of physical geography related, but there's going to be like models, I think there already are, but more accurate models predicting where sea level is going to rise or like what cities might need help or what cities we might lose because of sea level rising. Public health is just going to need GIS more in the future. I don't think global pandemics are going to go away, sadly. Especially if variants of COVID keep popping up, public health will need GIS for sure. Monitoring like who's gotten the vaccine for whatever disease, just looking at areas around the globe, maybe this country they can't afford vaccines, so like the US has to donate it, and then you can monitor how many people get the vaccine from there. I would say the military is not really a field, I guess, but they rely heavily on GIS and geospatial analysis, drones, remote sensing. They do all sorts of cool geospatial stuff. I feel like they're only going to get more involved with it than they already are. So honestly, really any field, global economics, could those like geopolitical stuff, like especially with tensions with different countries and politics is getting more divided. There's definitely consequences of that that you could monitor with GIS or show or predict. With like a lot of countries are only becoming more developed. Even in Penfield, there's a lot of parcels of land that have trees that people own, and they're trying to make money and turn it into like a subdivision with a bunch of new single family homes. So that's like construction, development, land use, land change, that sort of thing will only continue to need GIS because we only have so many trees. Yeah, I think that's sort of a long-winded answer, but really any field will continue to need GIS or start to need GIS. There's like no field I can think of that wouldn't need GIS. Maybe like chemistry, because you're not really mapping things, but you can use GIS for anything. I think that's all the questions. Did anyone have any last minute questions or things? Maybe you asked a question and I didn't have a clear answer. Maybe I can elaborate or clarify. If not, thank you very much for joining, for asking questions, for taking GIS classes. It's such a powerful tool that I don't think many people outside of those of us that know what it is, like family members had no idea what it was. Friends had no idea that GIS was a thing. People that live in the town I work in, they think it's awesome when we pull up, they have a question about some address, we can pull it up on the online GIS interactive web map and show them all the different, like there's a wetland or there's a bald eagle nest on the property next door, and we could show all that stuff in GIS, and they didn't even know we could do that. So yeah, yay GIS. Yay, you guys, for attending and being here. I hope you got something useful out of this. If not, there will be another Ask Me Anything event at the end of the semester with Kareem Howard, who is also a fellow GIST program MCC alum, who some of you probably have met with this semester so far. He's really great. He's in the sort of like energy infrastructure type field doing GIS stuff. So he has a awesome perspective on GIS from what he's doing. So definitely recommend attending his as well. And hope you guys have a great night. Yeah, thanks for coming.